Amen. By the special grace of God this morning, I'm still going to continue our discussion on the subject of dealing with the enemies of our destiny. If you have been coming to church, we have been talking about dealing with the enemies of our destiny. Today, by the special grace of God, we're going to take the discussion further. We have been talking about enemies that we need to confront. What is an enemy? An enemy is anything that is actively opposed or hostile to you. An enemy is a foe. An enemy is an adversary. An enemy is a challenger, an opposer. Anything that threatens the fulfillment of your destiny, anything that is going to derail or capable of derailing your destiny is an enemy. And if you have followed our discussion so far, we have mentioned about three enemies. We have spoken about the enemy of what? Procrastination. Someone say procrastination. Then we spoke about the enemy of fear. And the last time we spoke in the first service, I completed that discussion this morning. We spoke about distractions. Those are potentially threatening enemies. These enemies can derail, can deny, and disrupt the destiny of a man. It doesn't matter how beautiful the tomorrow that God has envisaged for you is. You have to deal with these enemies. Now, somebody was asking me some time ago, why is it important for me to confront these enemies? You see, the enemy that you tolerate today is capable of terminating your destiny tomorrow. That's why you have to deal with them today so that it doesn't deal with you tomorrow. You see, things that people look over or people tolerate, especially these enemies. You probably might not have seen these things as enemies, but they are very, very dangerous enemies. They are hostile, they are harmful, they are dangerous. You know, when we talk about enemies of destiny, most of the time people are thinking about Satan. Don't get me wrong, Satan is actively opposed towards your destiny. But these little things that we've been talking about, they are even more potentially dangerous. I even believe that Satan hides under the canopy of these things you have been talking about to hinder our enemy. But I see you victorious in Jesus' name. I said, I see you victorious in Jesus' name. Tell your neighbor, you will fulfill your destiny. You're not saying like somebody who's short. Tell him, say, you will fulfill your destiny. Tell him, say, you will fulfill your destiny. I feel like telling somebody at this morning, your destiny will not be aborted. Your destiny will not be truncated. For somebody else, it might have been delayed, but it will not be denied. You will get there in Jesus' name. So we're going to read our text scripture, Jeremiah 29 verse 11. It says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. May the Lord bless the hearing of his words in our heart this morning and give us light and understanding in the name of Jesus. I've explained what destiny is or what destiny represents. I'm not going to explain that because of time. I'm just going to go straight ahead into the fourth enemy of our destiny that we need to deal with. And that enemy is no other enemy other than indiscipline. Shout to me, say indiscipline. Indiscipline is one of the enemies of our destiny. Indiscipline has the power to derail, has the power to destroy a man's destiny. And the earlier you begin to look at indiscipline as an enemy, the better for you. Because indiscipline has ruined several destinies. Indiscipline has terminated abruptly, even many lives. It has slain many giants. It will not slay you in Jesus' name. I know if I mention Samson now, you have an idea of a very powerful man. And that's true. Samson was a man destined for greatness. He was a man with a promising tomorrow. But sadly, indiscipline truncated his destiny. As powerful as Samson was, he lacked self-control in some areas. You see, I have seen highly talented people, highly gifted people. In fact, people more gifted, people more talented than I am. And at times, when I enter into conversation with some of them, listen, I've seen people who are gifted. I mean highly gifted, highly anointed. But when you look at where they are today, vis-a-vis their potential and the things that they carry on the inside, you wonder why they are where they are. And based on evaluation, based on interrogation, based on investigation, I have discovered at times that indiscipline was the undoing of many of such kind of destinies. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor. Say, I believe you're a self-disciplined man. Tap your neighbor and say, you need to address indiscipline so that it doesn't destroy your destiny. What is indiscipline? Indiscipline is a lack of discipline, lack of control in the behavior of a group of people with the result that they behave badly. You see, when somebody is in discipline, he or she lacks control. And control is something that you need to have if you are going to fulfill your destiny. Interestingly, one of the fruit of the Spirit is called self-control. The KJV calls it what? Self-what? Restraint. But it's actually self-control. If you read Galatians 5 from verse 22 to 23, now that tells me that God expects you to cultivate the fruit of self-discipline. Look at your neighbor and ask him, say, I believe you're a self-disciplined man. Listen, because of indiscipline, Gehazi lost his ministry. Because of indiscipline, Judas Iscariot lost his ministry. Many lives have been truncated. Many destinies have been aborted because of lack of control. Samson lacked control. I'm going to be showing you areas he lacked control in a minute. I don't just want to run before myself. But I'm trying to make you understand that you must be a disciplined fellow if you are going to fulfill your destiny. You know, we celebrate many things about Daniel, but do you know one thing that Daniel had? Daniel had self-control. As a young man, amen, somebody? As a teenager, amen, somebody? He found himself in a strange land. No father, no mother, no pastor, nobody there. But he knew that God was there with him. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. Listen, if he could resist the temptation of the meal of the king and all the amenities, do you know that that was the beginning of the platform and the placement of his greatness in destiny? Look at your neighbor and tap him and say, you need to be self-disciplined. You know, one of the reasons people don't like the word discipline is because it looks like punishment. In fact, while I was looking at the definition of the word discipline from the origin, whether from the French old origin or from the Latin, meaning it connotes a suggestion about discipline. For instance, from the French ideology, it carries the impression of punishment and suffering. And you know, we don't like that. Nobody wants to go through any form of suffering or punishment. But do you know that if you cultivate the fruit of self-discipline, or the seed rather, of self-discipline in your life today, you will reap the fruits ahead in your life in the name of Jesus? Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to cultivate the fruits of self-discipline.
The word discipline is from the Latin word disciplina. Disciplina. It means teaching. It means learning. It means instruction or knowledge. I say it again. It means teaching. Someone say teaching. It means learning. Say, someone say learning. It means what? Instruction or knowledge. Now, basically, that is how you cultivate discipline, through instruction, through knowledge, through learning and teaching. Teaching is so crucial to developing a lifestyle of discipline. If you're not the kind of person that takes correction, you will lack discipline in your life. I was encouraging a young man in ministry. I was telling him about the fact that you need to learn the ropes now. You need to go through these things now. It may look like they don't like you, but they love you. Listen, blessed are you that you have somebody to chastise you. Blessed are you that you have somebody to rebuke you. You know, some people don't like to be rebuked. Some people don't like to be corrected. Some people don't like to be chastised. A child left to himself is open to destruction. That's what the Bible says in Proverbs 22 verse 6. Train up a child. While I was growing up in ministry, I had it very hard and tough. Some of my predecessors, some of my superiors were very high-handed. Amen, somebody. And you see, in those days, I used to think that probably they didn't like me. That's why they're treating me the way they're treating me. I didn't know that they were trying to help me to cultivate the fruit of self-discipline. Tap your neighbor and say, you need discipline in your life. At times, it's not palatable. At times, it's not easy. At times, you feel the pain. Why do you have to go through this? Why should I do this? Why should I do? It's not convenience, but it's helping you to lay a solid foundation for your destiny. I pray for you this morning. You will not lack teachers and mentors that will teach you the right way in the name of Jesus. That is so lacking in our days. I went somewhere and somebody was commending someone. And the person said, you have to thank God for my mom. Thank God for my dad. And thank God for the mentors. Because they saw proper home training in that person. They saw the demeanor and the composure. And they were wondering, hey, where did you come from? He said, when they were putting these things in me, I didn't like it. I was complaining. But now I'm reaping the fruits. May you reap the fruits of self-discipline in the name of Jesus. You know, the Bible says something very funny in Proverbs 25, 28. Proverbs 25, 28. It says, he that does not have control over his spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. When a city is broken down, what does that mean? There will be anarchy. There will be disorder. When a city is without, see, walls in those days, ancient days, protected cities from what? From being what? Encroached by the enemy. So walls meant a lot. Jerusalem was surrounded by walls. There were 12 gates. It served as a source of fortress. So when you see a man who lacks control, you see, when you don't have rule, the word rule means control. When you don't have control over your spirit, you are like a city that is exposed to danger. Amen, somebody? Amen. You are open. You are vulnerable. Amen, somebody? Amen. And you see, one of the challenges of undeveloped countries is lack of order. If you go to advanced countries of the world, you will see order. Say order, somebody. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40, let everything, someone say everything. I can't hear you. Say everything. It didn't say some things. How many things? What's everything? All things. Let all things be done how? Decently and what? Look at your neighbor and tap him and say, you need discipline in your life if you are going to fulfill your colorful destiny. Now, the word discipline is defined by the English dictionary as training to improve strength or self-control. Training to improve what? Strength or what? Self-control. That's what discipline does. It helps you to develop strength of character. It helps you to have control. Say control. What is the word discipline English dictionary? It also means a system of rules, of conduct, or method of practice. It's a system of rules. Where there are no rules, they're bound to be what? Anarchy. I always tell people there is a law in every house. And when those laws are not followed, when those laws are breached, disorderliness will be the what? Order of the day. So look at your neighbor and tap and say, you need a system of rules. Say, you need a system of rules. Ladies and gentlemen, if you get your handle on what I'm talking about today, it will set your destiny on a high standard of victory, and the enemy will not be able to truncate your colorful destiny in the name of Jesus. What is the word discipline again? It means the practice of training people to obey rules or a code of behavior, using punishment to correct disobedience. Hallelujah, be to Jesus. Are you still here? I say, hallelujah, be to Jesus. The Bible was saying something in 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3, verse 14 and 15. It says, Paul was telling 1 Timothy, put it on the screen. I don't want to quote it. Glory be to God. Can you be fast about it? 1 Timothy 4, 13, 15. It says, 14, 15. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You're almost telling me to quote it. Amen, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, before these things arise unto you, open to come unto you shortly. Now, it says in verse 15, it says that, can you put it on the screen? It says, but if I tarry longer, that you may know how you ought to what? Now, listen, you need to know that this book was written by Apostle Paul to Timothy, a son in the ministry to who? Apostle Paul. A mentor to a mentee. Amen, somebody. Amen. A mentor to a protege. Amen, somebody. Amen. He said, the reason I'm sending these things to you is because I want people to know, I want you to know how you ought to what? Behave yourself where? Which is what? The house of God is what? The church of the living God, which is what? The pillar and the ground of truth. So there's a way to behave in God's house. Are you here this morning? That's where I'm going. There's a way to what? Behave. Paul had to pass that across to Timothy so that he might know that you can't just behave anyhow. Tell your neighbor, say, you can't just behave anyhow. I know of people from experience in ministry, once they are chastised, they relocate. Amen, somebody. To another church. Amen, somebody. And I can tell from years of being in the ministry, those kind of people don't do well. I'm telling you from experience now. Because you see, when you are chastised, when you are rebuked, when you are corrected, if you don't take it in love and mend and adjust your ways and paths, you'll be setting yourself up for destruction. The Bible makes us understand that there is a way. Somebody say there is a way. That what seems right unto that man. Proverbs 14, verse 12. Proverbs 16, verse 25. There is a way that looks right. It looks right to that man. But the Bible says, the end thereof are what? Watch that scripture. Listen. One way becoming what? Many ways of death. One way leading to how many what? Now, the wisdom you get, the benefit you get, is if you are open to instruction Don't forget the word discipline means what? Instruction, teaching, and learning. You are able to amend your ways. I pray for somebody here this morning. The grace to order, the grace to behave in the way and a manner that will make your destiny to fulfill its purpose is released unto you this morning in the name of Jesus. We need self. If Daniel was not a disciplined fellow, he would not have fulfilled his destiny. There were many who left Babylon with Daniel, but they fizzled away when they got to Babylon. Your name will not fizzle away. Listen, there are many people who enter into the race of life. People with great potential, great destinies, but we don't hear everybody's name. Listen, that's to tell you that some people fizzle out. You will not be lost in your generation. I said you will not be lost in your generation. It was not only Daniel that left, Israel. There were other young men. The Bible says they were selected from the king's lineage. Other young men. You can see Daniel chapter 1 from verse 4, verse 3 and 4. It makes us understand that there were many. But why was it that only Daniel and his four friends stood out? It was because of discipline. So look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, you need to deal with indiscipline in your life. Indiscipline destroyed Samson. Indiscipline, it destroyed Samson. Listen, you need to understand something. The fact that you are powerful or you have access to power does not mean that you misbehave. Are you in the house this morning? He was a man greatly anointed of God. He was a man that whenever he shook himself, the power came on him. And listen, he did astounding things, but he died before his time. He died in his prime. Amen, somebody? That's not God's plan for you. And that will never be your heritage in the name of Jesus. Look at the neighbor on top and say, you need to cultivate the fruit of self-discipline in your life. There are seven areas of our lives that we need to cultivate self-discipline. The first area is in your passions. Say, my passion. Listen, when I talk about your passion, I'm talking about your emotions, your feelings. I'm not talking about the good emotions. I'm talking about the negative ones. You need to exercise control in your passion. Passion like what? Hunger. Amen, somebody. Passion like what? Envy. Amen, somebody. Jealousy. Amen, somebody. Bitterness. Amen, somebody. Resentment. Hello? Am I communicating? If you are here, say amen. There was a young lady. God brought down my way. I was trying to tell her, to mentor her about the fact that you need to deal with this anger problem in your life. She said, I don't have a problem with anger. I said, I don't think I'm blind though. She said, I don't have a problem with anger. There's somebody that when she gets angry, her hands will be vibrating. Amen, somebody. When I say vibrating, I mean vibrating. It's not just little anger. This is hot anger. Amen, somebody. She loses everything in that moment. Amen, somebody. Talks to anybody anyhow. And if she sees anything in that place, she can use it against you. I said, I've seen one or two manifestations. You need to, he said, I don't have any problem. I don't think I was blind. Amen, somebody. She was arguing with me. She said, no, amen, somebody. But you know, there's a way, time. Say time, somebody. Time has a way of making the truth to catch up. Amen, somebody. With somebody, even when you don't want to agree with it. It was later, years down the line. She now keeps saying, I'm sorry, sir. You spoke to me about this thing. I took it lightly. This thing is almost eating up my life. I need help. Listen to me. Listen. Do you know that one of the problems of Samson was anger? Listen. I have never seen a man who came to marry a woman. Amen, somebody. Because the in-laws played a funny trick on him. Now, by the way, it was when I even put the riddle to them. And he made a very useless, gamble. If you can interpret this riddle, then you are going to give me this. I mean, listen, why did you come there? You came to marry. So, why are you meddling in things that does not concern you? He started, he gave them a riddle. He said, if you don't interpret it within 7 days, you give me 30 change of raiment. Mr. Man, why did you come there? You came to marry. So face the job at hand. Those guys could not interpret. They now started pestering the lady. She was supposed to marry. And that lady pestered Samson. And Samson said, it's actually a lion, and revealed the riddle. And when they told Samson, Samson said, I know how you got the answer. You have been meddling with my fiance. In anger, he went to kill 30 people, brought their clothes and whatever. Instead of taking the wife, he went in anger. Go and read it. It's in the Bible. Judges 14. You could not even wait to take the wife you married. When the anger now subsided, he came back and said, we have given the wife to your best man. At you marry off, we have given it to your best man. Has taken your place. Some people are looking at me in a strange way. Go and read the Bible. You see it. It's in the Bible. Amen. Judges 14. Go and read the whole of Judges 14. Tap it up and say, hunger. Tap it up and say, deal with your passions. It can hinder your destiny. You will see his hunger always manifesting. Always manifesting. Oh, listen. listen. Hunger cannot solve everything. Amen, somebody. Of course, there's a time to get angry, but hungry with wisdom. Amen, somebody. Not that you get angry and all the house is on fire. Amen, somebody. Because God does get hungry. The Bible says his hunger is for but a moment. He doesn't get angry forever. Amen, somebody. Otherwise, none of us will be here. Are you here this morning? Tap it up and say, it's time to tame your passions. Simon and Levi, brothers of cruelty. That's how their father calls them. Instrument of cruelty. Together. Simon and Levi. What happened? Their sister, Dinah, went to town. They just came new to town. They came to a place called Shechem. Genesis 34. The daughter too, in her ignorance. This is not a place you are familiar to. She went to town. When she got to town, she saw a man, the son of the king, known as Shechem, the son of Ammon the Hivite. That guy took advantage of her. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody. Slept with her against her wish. Amen, somebody. After the word defile means to humble somebody. So it wasn't sex by mutual consent. Amen, somebody. It was against her wish. She came back home crying. The brother said, wait till. They said, Na Shechem. Okay. No wala. Amen, somebody. The dad know them, said, please, I beg. No problem, daddy. We're not fighting. So when the father of the guy came to beg, said, my son actually has made a mistake, but he has promised to marry your daughter, notwithstanding. Please tell us anything, we are going to do it. Then, the father said, well, the only thing I can tell you to do is that if you are ready to circumcise yourself, say circumcision, no, Allah. We'll do that. For love, we'll do that. Do you know that they did the circumcision? The third day of the circumcision. No, if you know circumcision, circumcision is not an easy process for even a baby. These were adults. All males have done circumcision. In the third day, when they were still probably in the height of the pain, Simon and Levi, these two brothers, alone, say alone, somebody. Genesis, you can see where the father was placing the curse of blood. Genesis 49, when he was about to die, I was asking myself, I don't understand the father too. He kept quiet. Why was it that when he was about to die, that he remembered? I leave that to another day. But do you know he placed a curse on them? Isaac placed a curse on them. Genesis 49, from verse 5 and 7. He called them, he said, they were instrumental. He said, in their anger, they slew an entire nation. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody. They now came the third day when they were healing, and they slayed all the males in that town. What kind of anger is that? Hello, somebody. I mean, of course, we are not condoning what the guy has done, but does that give you the right to kill all the males? Tap your neighbor and say, it's time to deal. Say, deal with your passions. I can spend time here, but I want to move on. Another area you need to cultivate self-discipline in your life, if you will not truncate your destiny, is your appetite. Say, my appetite. Let me use the word of Zebudiah, the thing where you dechopulate. Food. Someone say food. Food and drink can keep somebody out of their promised land. There were many people who left Egypt. They died in the wilderness because of garlic, cucumber, onion, fish. Go read the Bible. Numbers 11, you can see them. They were crying because there was no meat. They were now saying in verse 4 and 5, we remember the onions, we remember the garlic, we remember the cucumber and the leeks that we ate. Freely in Egypt, that's a lie. Tapere said, that's not true. It was not free. Amen, somebody. But you see, when people mix emotions with what they are doing, it begins to make that kind of sense. Ah. Look at the devil and say, gain control over your appetite. Listen, I once had a story of two brothers who were princes. The elder one was the person who was supposed to ascend the throne. But the younger one played the fast one on the elder one, because he knew the elder one had problem with appetite. Amen, somebody. Say appetite. Food. You know what he did? So he seized the throne and said, well, the only condition for you to become king is that you must walk out of your room. If you can come out of your room unaided, come through out the door. Amen, somebody. I will restore your inheritance, all the ancestral land and privileges back to you. But you know, the younger guy was wise. You know what he did? Every day he will send plenty of food. Say plenty of food. He will ship it in the morning. He will ship it in the afternoon. He will ship it in the night. Now, because the brother was possessed with the spirit of gluttony, amen, somebody, he could not resist. He kept eating and eating. Do you know that he never came out of that room? He was so big. Amen, somebody. He could not say no. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, say, you must gain control. Say, gain control. Say, mastery. Over what? Food. Because of food, sir, some people will not fulfill their destiny. Go and read the Bible. People die, people perish in the wilderness because they could not control their appetite. Nabal, what keep Nabal? Food and drink. 1 Samuel 25. Look at your neighbor and say, food will not hinder you. Listen, I know we know the story of Esau and who. Why did he sell his birthright? Food. Say food to somebody. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, food and drink will not hinder your colorful destiny. Tap your neighbor and say, I see you gain mastery. Over what? You must know how to. I'm restraining myself, but I want to read the scripture. Go to Proverbs 23. Glory be to God. Proverbs 23. This is a very funny story, but I mean, this is a challenge many people face. Proverbs 23, verse 1 to 3. It says, when you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is what? Before you. Put a knife to where? If you're a man, giving to what? The expression, put a knife to your throat, means self-control. Say self-control. Listen, that's what they call in my language. You need to know how your eyes is pushing you. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody. When you go to a place, amen, somebody, and they set orishi-rishi before you. Say self-control, somebody. Some people throw all caution into the wind. Amen, somebody? I say, ah, oh, the bet. Listen. If even if it's been long you've eaten that kind of food, you must exercise control. Say control. Don't eat like as if to say you are a glutton. I tell some people know some, they don't know some of these ethics. I had a friend in the early days of my Christian experience. He used to say it jokingly, and I said, hey, Bro Moses. Say Bro Moses, somebody. Sisters are watching you. He said, Bro Yems, leave that one. Because he was fond of saying that, you know, silver and gold have I known, but such as I have, what do I have? I can eat. And they will say it jokingly, and you know, people will be joking and laughing. When we go to events, when they serve everybody, one, you know, take away, he will say, please give another one. I said, Bro Moses. Is that Bro Yems? I will. I said, people have eyes. They are seeing you all the time. Anytime we have events, you take the second one, you take the third one. Listen to me. Gluttony is a serious problem. You know, that was having a conversation. So I mean, lately this of a Christian spirit, and the person was telling me that what is 6 cups of rice? I have to open my eyes and say, what did you just say now? Where I come from, Ilori, where I lived, they call it Pereji. Pereji is made up of 6 cups. He said, me and my brother, we'll sit down, we'll finish one pereji of rice. I said, eh? Where did you eat it? How did you eat it? You know, that there's a saying in my language, they say, that person can eat like termites. Thank you, sir. I said, this is devastating. You must not go and visit anybody on holiday. Hello, somebody. Esau lost his destiny because of food. He said, what is food to me? What is food to me? You know, Jacob being very trickish. Okay, I will give you. My friend, porridge, but sell your birthright. Was he not in his senses? Can't you hold yourself a bit? Are you telling me that if you don't eat for one day, you won't? Listen, you are a hunter. You might not have taken anything that day. If you go the second day, God will bless your effort. But because of lack of control, say lack of self-control. Indiscipline. Another thing, another area you must develop control or discipline is in your desires. Desires has to do with the things you want, the things you long for. Especially, I'm not talking about good desires here. I'm talking about desires for what is forbidden, desires for what is wrong. You must fight over lustful and carnal desires. Job 31. I love what Job said, verse 1. He said, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why will I think upon a maiden? Hello, somebody. Now, you may not understand what it means, think. It's actually desiring, amen, somebody. Image. You see, I had an issue some time ago, and I couldn't believe it. I said, somebody's crushing on me. Who is crushing on you? Who is crushing on you? You are crushing on a married person? I said, where did he get that crush? Terminate that cross. Send it to where it came from. You should not even be telling me. It's like you're not seeing this thing though. Tap it up and say, kill it before it goes. So you must deal with your desires. Listen, there are desires for what is forbidden. Desires for what is wrong. It happens to everybody. You must tame it. Say tame it. Must bring it under control. You must resist it. Some people cannot say no to some negative desires. They don't have control. You must be able to exercise control over your desires. Amen.
Are you here? I said amen.
Amen.
I remember a story that I heard about one of the fathers of the faith in this country. He went to his mentor. He'd been going there. Then there was one day he went there, and the car he brought broke down. And his mentor said, hey, there's no point for you to be struggling. Look around in the neighborhood. In the compound, pick any car you want. It's yours. He said, thank you very much, sir. He said, I'm giving you. He said, no, sir. He said, I appreciate your gesture, sir. He said, that's not what I want. He said, what do you want? He said, I want everything that produces all the thing that I'm seeing now. That's what I want. That's a wise person. If someone says, let me go and take that latest. He said, no, I don't want. I want whatever has produced what? All of that. Everything that makes you, that's what I want. That's the man who understands the power of the right desire. You know, in that moment, you could have said, but need motto badly. Tap your neighbor, say, motto will come. Tell him, I say, motto will come. Say, joy will come. Say, wealth will come. Say, honor will come. Say, riches will come. But tap it, say, learn the ropes now. Let's exercise control over our desires. That was a problem of Rachel. She did not have control over her desires. You will see that competitive, that rivalry between her and her sister. She wanted what her sister wanted at all costs, not minding the consequences. That's not good. Amen, somebody. When you want something so badly, you don't even care what happens to that person. That's a wrong desire. That's what envy does. I don't mind. Even if that person dies, I just want to have the place of that person. That's not a godly desire. Genesis 30 verse 1. He came and told her husband, give me children. The Bible says when she saw that her sister bare children, she got envious of her. And she decided to pour it on her husband. Give me children or else. That's a threat. Or else. I will kill myself. I beg you. Amen. Somebody in the house. Look at the neighbor and tap and say, do you have control over your desires? Or your desires control you? These are areas we must exercise. Self-control. Someone say self-control. Another area you must exercise self-control is in our bodies. We must know how to bring our bodies under subjection. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9 verse 27, I bring it under subjection. So that after I have preached to others, I myself am not a castaway. Colossians 3 verse 5 says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Romans 8 verse 12 and 13 says, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh to live after the flesh. He now said in the next verse, if we live after the flesh, we will die. But if we through the Spirit mortify, so say mortify, the deeds of the body we shall live. Satan may say, my body does not control me. Come on, say it like you may say, my body does not control me. I control my body. The way God made it, this is the right order. Your spirit is supposed to dominate your soul and your body. For some people, it's the other way around. It's whatsoever your body tells you, that's what you do. If you don't have control over your body, if you don't have control over your body, if you listen to your body and cave into your body, you wouldn't fulfill your destiny. I think I told you a story about a friend of mine who was always in the habit. When his body starts misbehaving, say misbehaving. You say, okay. In the name of Jesus. Come on. What are you trying to do? Come. Who are you looking at? Bring your eyes back under control. In the name of Jesus. Some of you may be laughing. But listen. The name of Jesus is not a respect of any person. Say,
feeling? What are you thinking about? Break your mind under control. You know, some of us will not even rebuke that. You will go ahead and be feasting on it and meditating on it. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody in the house? Tap at them and say, what have you been looking at? Ask him, say, what have you been secretly looking at? That nobody knows. Say, what can say your woe? Say, what your woe? Some people are looking and say, ah, pastor, why are you talking like this now? Amen, somebody. Look at your neighbor, say, control. We need to exercise control over our bodies. Our bodies have a tendency of misbehaving at times, but you must bring it under control. Hello? I said, hello. Tap it and say, you've got the power in Jesus' name. Now I tell you, say, use it, use it. Let's exercise this dominion. The dominion that we have is not for decoration. If you exercise your dominion, God will give you victory in the name of Jesus. Another area you must exercise control, number 5, is your thoughts. The way you think and what you think about. So that we will not be lost. Philippians 4 verse 8, God gave us what to think on. Don't think outside these things. It says whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things of good report, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, do what? So anything outside this, don't what? Don't think on it. Our thoughts are very powerful. Thoughts are very powerful. The Bible says in Proverbs 23 verse 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, as a man thinketh in his heart, as a woman thinketh in his heart, so is what? Ask your neighbor, are you in control of your thoughts? Or your thoughts are in control of you? I know what it means to fight negative thoughts, to fight unclean thoughts. Listen, you must gain the mastery over your thoughts. God has given you the power. You are not at the mercy of your thoughts. No! Jesus came to give us dominion and victory. Say after me, say, I have the power. Say, I will exercise dominion that Jesus has given me. Say, I will be disciplined in my thoughts. At times, the thoughts of people wander away so fast. You can be in this service and you can be at home. Amen, somebody. You can be this service on your Lagos. Or you're in London. Amen. You know, you're painting the picture of London. You're in Nigeria, but you're painting the picture of London. Or you're painting the picture of the issue you're going to hit after the service. Look at the neighbor. Ask him, say, do you have control over your thoughts? At times, some people's thoughts wander away so fast, you can't concentrate. Amen, somebody. Glory be to Jesus. Jesus is giving you victory in Jesus' name. Amen. Tap your neighbor and say, I have control in the name of Jesus. Amen. Say, my thoughts will not dominate me. And you know one interesting thing? The way you think affects the way you feel. If you can control or change the way you think, you can change the way you feel. There's no truth about the fact that, you are helpless with your feelings. No! God did not make us like that. You have the power to choose your thoughts. Choose the right kind of thoughts. Amen, somebody? That's why God gave us his word. His word is filled with his thoughts. God says, my ways are not your ways, neither my thoughts your thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the heart, so my ways higher than your ways. Isaiah 55, verse 8, and 9. Let me run. Number 6. We need to gain control or discipline over our actions. Our actions speaks about the things that we do. Listen to this. The things that you do, the secret of your success is in your daily agenda. If you cannot exercise dominion and control over your actions, you will never fulfill your destiny. I was telling somebody this. If you only walk on the days you feel like walking, you will never realize your potential.
Because I don't feel like walking today. I have, listen, everybody will be under the weather one way or the other. Everybody will wake up on the wrong side of the bed once in a while. Everybody will probably have a bad day at the office. But listen, those things are not supposed to affect your mood. Hello? Look at your neighbor and tap and say, be disciplined in your actions. Tell him, I say, what you need to do, do it. Some people subject their life to sentiments. That's why they don't fulfill. Listen, listen, you've got to be principled, determined. Amen, somebody? Amen. You've got to be disciplined in your actions. The things that you need to do it. Don't leave it to chance. Don't say someday will come. Listen, someday is no day. Let the day, let today rather be the day of the Lord. Let it be the day of taking your decision in the name of Jesus. Sometimes I'll be disciplined in my actions. Samson was not disciplined in his actions. He was not disciplined. There's a story in Judges 15. Let's even see it. Glory be to Jesus. I'm trying to run because of time. Judges 15, if you're there, say amen. Judges 15, okay, 16. 16 verse 1. Then Samson went to Gaza. Now Gaza is one of the territory of the Philistines. And saw there who? Who is an harlot? A prostitute. Amen. Who is a prostitute? Commercial sex worker. Who is a commercial sex worker? I want you to break it down. Amen, somebody. Some of those grammar is too much. Amen, somebody. Thank you there. Amen, somebody. That's the kind of person she, and he saw. Amen, somebody. Somebody is willing to give sex for what? Money. And went into what? Please read it for me. Went into where? Now, that went into her. I mean, went in onto her. Now, listen. It's a very old English, but what I'm trying to say is this. Who went there? Who carried his feet? Did somebody carry his feet? Who walked there? Who saw the prostitute? Did you see any mention of Satan there? Now, why is it that people blame it on Satan? He was not disciplined in his actions. Now you carry your leg out there. Carry your leg too. Even if by mistake you branch there, carry your leg and what? Say, Alelezomotik. Because we need to be disciplined in our actions. Many people are not willing to be accountable for the actions. Many people want to blame things and blame. Listen, poor old devil. Oh, we have battered his head so much. Now, waiting for this one. This one, waiting for Satan. Somebody was cracking a joke. He said, one day Satan came to God's presence and was complaining. He said, what's the problem? He said, Baba God, now your children. I said, what happened? He said, this one, now me. He said, hey, when you two got a bad name? When you have a bad name, they will put everything on you. But look at him and say, take responsibility. Tell him, say, take responsibility for your actions. You cannot become a man of destiny if you are the kind of person that does not take responsibility for his or her actions. Sometimes I say, I will be disciplined in my actions. Then the final one, we'll have to stop on these. We'll probably look at how to overcome in discipline next time. Amen. Amen. Jesus has not come. Amen, somebody. Number seven. Amen, somebody. Seventh area you need to exercise self-control is in your choices. The things that you choose. Choices has a great impact on our destiny. Your choice of friends, your choice of schools, your choice of career, your choice of where you live, where you go, the choices that we make can make or mar our destiny. Do you have control over your choices? Don't belong to the group that says, them say. Tapping them and say, stop saying them say. Say, I don't want to do it. It's what they said. That means you don't have a mind of your own. You can't make up your mind. You don't. Listen, God is going to hold you accountable for your choice. Daniel chose. They didn't force him. I'm not going to eat this thing. He made a personal choice. I won't defile myself. Daniel 1 verse 8. This thing is against the law of my God. This thing is against the dietary laws of God. This thing has been sacrificed to idols. I'm not going to break the heart of God. Whether pastor is here or not. No. It was a choice. I'm sure some people say, Brother Daniel, Etunde, this is not Israel now. Hello, somebody else. You know, people say that, you are too spiritual. Pastor is not here, this is not church. Does that look like something you have had somewhere? Amen, somebody. Is that, you are too uptight, you are too serious. Turaka. Pastor is not here now. As if to say, Pastor is your God. Amen, somebody. Everybody will give an account. Hello, somebody. Tap a neighbor, say whether pastor is here or not. God, they see you. Look at them. Where? Say, God, they see you. I don't know, it was a Tuesday. I was sharing this testimony. One of the young men that graduated years back in University of Ibadan was told me of, went on a training program. Was other young man. I mean, it was supposed to be part of the exposure into the world of, you know, their career choice or choice path. And they send them on training. And once you are done in the day, evening is like free. I mean, four-star hotel, everything at your beck and whatever. In the evening, so they saw it was, came to say, said, oh boy, what did happen? He said, I'm just relaxing. Relaxing? He said, tomorrow we're going to hit the train again. Nice. I want to relax. He said, let's go out. He said, to where? He said, let's go to town. To go and do what? Do you have an uncle? I said, no, I don't. He said, let's go and fill the town. Let's go and fill the city. As if to say you are the thermostat or the or the barometer. He said, I said, I'm not going. He said, let's go. So he didn't go with them. So they went, they came back late. What is it? We went there. After that. So they kept going every day, but they refused to go. Him and somebody. Of course, they came back to Nigeria. They were posted different, whatever. Long and short, Abraham to say is that he told me, he said, it's after 3 or 4 years in that. He said, most of those guys lost their bearing and footing. So he said, they were out or they were in the background. But God helped him to keep his cool. Amen, somebody? Because he was disciplined. Say, disciplined. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor. Say, it's not everything that you see that your mouth should eat. Tell your neighbor, say, be disciplined in your choices. Tap your neighbor, say, exercise control over your choice. I remember a very funny story. This was given several years ago of a brother who was desiring. There was this very, you know, very hot, fervent sister in church in those days. And she was like size 10, amen, somebody. Oh, like lepacious, amen. I said, oh, father. Oh, sister Elin. Oh, God bless you. Oh, I'm going to say, and the brother was saying, oh, father, in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father. Oh, God barakasu. Hey, Kiburu Shakapata, I claim in the name of this sister that the Lord will just. But is there one thing or the other that just made it, you know, impossible for him to have the courage to go and say, sis, how now? Amen. And after 1 or 2 years, everybody went and, you know, went each other way. Then years down the road, like 5 or 6 years, he was waiting one day at the bus stop and somebody was coming. He said, this looks like Sister Elino. He says, no, Sister Elin. Oh, no. It can't be Sister Elin. This is a plus size person. This is not size. Sister Elin is, I mean, straight. Size 10. Amen, somebody. But the person was just barely moving and just, you know. He said, no, this cannot be. The closer the person came, the clearer the picture. That this is Sister Elin, though. Sister Lee, what happened?
I said, long story. Oh, long time no see. How are you? Hey, blah, 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 blah. He said, he made sure that the, she's telling us, you know, really gone. He now went to one corner and knelt down. I said, Heavenly Father. He said, I thank you that I didn't marry Sister. I mean, people were now wondering, said, what's wrong with this man? Why is he laying down in one corner? I said, oh, Father. Rise up on your feet. Lift up your two hands. Say, Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit. I need the power of self-discipline in my life. Help me to be disciplined in my actions, my choices, my thoughts, my bodies, my desire, my emotions. Help me to be disciplined with my appetite so that I can fulfill my glorious destiny. Come on, lift up your voice and